Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
All three readings for this weekend speak to us about the importance of faith, especially during difficult times. See, it's precisely in the struggle with whatever challenge we're facing in life that our faith grows all the more stronger to do God's will. Now turn to that first reading from the book of the prophet Habakkuk. Now Habakkuk, just like Amos last week, is considered a minor prophet. If you go into the Bible and you look for the book of the prophet Habakkuk, there's only three chapters to it. But nonetheless, his message is very important for us. Now, Habakkuk lived in the 7th century BC, and during that time, it was very tumultuous for Israel. The Babylonians had just invaded the country, and they were sacking, Jewish towns and villages, one after another after another. And then the Babylonians turned their sights on Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel. Now, the Israelites knew that if the Babylonians breached the walls of Jerusalem, that was it. They would conquer Jerusalem, they would destroy the whole city, and the people would be let off to live as slaves. And so, essentially, Habakkuk now, he prays to God, and he says, God, I don't know when, and I don't know how you're going to help us. But at the very end of his prayer, he says, the just one, because of his faith, shall live. And so Habakkuk essentially is trying to console the Israelite people. He's telling them to trust and have faith in God. We don't know when God is going to save us or how, but we have to place our faith in him, now more than ever. Well, for most of us, at some point in time in our life, we have been overwhelmed by a challenge. And there's been a point in which we throw our arms up and are ready to give up. Maybe it's been an unexpected diagnosis, the loss of a loved one, maybe a strained relationship in our marriage or in family or friends, or maybe we're just struggling with a chronic illness for years and years, and it's taken its toll. And we say the same thing as Habakkuk, how long, Lord? Or, I don't know how long much longer I can take this. Well, what are some of the temptations? To give up, right? Well, if we give up, then we don't have any hope. And a person that doesn't have any hope sees everything as worthless. Another temptation is we can take matters into our own hands. We can say, well, God isn't here anymore. He's not going to do anything. Well, then I'm going to take control of the situation myself. We can't do that either. Instead, we have to rely upon those words of Habakkuk. The just one, which is us, because of our faith, shall live or persevere through that challenge. See, faith in God helps us to persevere. And faith gives us hope. Hope that God will always be leading us. That he will never abandon us. Now, you see that up and down the Bible. I'll give you some examples. Psalm 37:27. It says, the faithful one's steps are guided by the Lord. Or look at Psalm 23:3. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Remember last week, the prophet Amos, he taught us about God's wrath is the same as his righteousness, his passion to set all things right. And we learned Jesus' ministry is a great example of that. His passion to set all things right. That's why he fed the hungry. He cured people that were ill. He taught people that were in error. And so we have to recognize that God has a passion to set all things right, and even in our own life. And so what is it required of us? We've got to have faith. Now, that's a great segue into the second reading. The second reading is essentially the letter from St. Paul to Timothy. Now, Timothy essentially was Paul's protege. You know, Timothy was baptized by Paul, he was confirmed by Paul, and he was also ordained a priest. And so Timothy, you can say, is on his first assignment as a priest. He's been assigned to a parish or a Christian community, and he's encountering some problems. Now, it has nothing to do with his preaching or his teaching. It's all very sound. Timothy's real problem, he's young, his youth. Now, remember, this was a patriarchal society that elevated or had great esteem for older men. They were considered wise beyond their years. Well, here you have this young guy now in charge of this Christian community, and they're pushing back on that. They basically tell Timothy he doesn't know the ways of the world. He's too young. Therefore, he can't lead that Christian community. Well, Paul, upon hearing this, he sends out this powerful letter trying to encourage Timothy not to give up, to persevere. Now, notice what Paul says. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardness, but rather a spirit of power. Now, if you're ever feeling down, if you're ever feeling discouraged, take that passage and maybe put it on your refrigerator so you can read it all the time. God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power. Well, that's so true. Just think about, you know, in our baptism and at confirmation, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And every time we come to Mass, you know, we receive Jesus' body and his blood. Now we receive the power of Jesus Christ himself. And so Paul is absolutely right. We have the spirit of power, and therefore we have to push through any challenge that we face in our life. Push through it. Because with that power of God in us, we can. We can persevere and overcome that challenge. Now, Paul is a great example of this. Paul right now, as he writes this letter, he's sitting in a prison in Rome, awaiting his own execution. And yet, Paul's not concerned about that at all. He's more concerned about Timothy and encouraging him, you know, to continue the ministry. You know, that is a great sign of the power of God within Paul. Now, that's a great segue into the gospel. The apostles, they say to Jesus, increase our faith. Now, faith looks like something. It looks like a person turning their life over to God. Now, often I give you that statement. Your life is not about you, your will and your purpose and your plans. Instead, your life is about you in relationship to God and living that out to the best of your abilities every day of your life. See, that's the fundamental statement of faith. And so we have to really understand we are part of God's great design. We have to believe this and then act upon it. See, that's what faith means or looks like. Now notice what Jesus says. He says, if you have the faith of the size of a mustard seed, you would say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea. Now, what I want to do is I just want to clarify something here, something that's becoming prevalent in our culture. You know, when we're talking about faith, we're not talking about surrendering reason or our intellect. Now, the modern day atheists will tell this to us all the time. They say, well, if you have faith, you have to surrender your intellect. Therefore, you can't really come to know God, and therefore your faith is merely a superstition. Well, that's rubbish. Turn to St. Augustine. Augustine once said, it's faith seeking understanding. And so you have faith, and then you have reason and intellect. They're not mutually exclusive. In fact, they're very compatible. They build upon each other. Here's what I mean by that. So using reason and intellect, we can come to know God through the teachings of our sacraments, our doctrine, our dogma. We can come to know God through, like, the Nicene Creed the scriptures, all those things. But our intellect can only take us to a certain point. Why? Because we're finite creatures. There's only so much we can take in and understand. Where God is infinite, He is the Alpha and the Omega. And so faith basically is a belief beyond reason. So where intellect takes us to a certain point, our faith takes us beyond that point. So you say, well, what is that? Well, faith is something beyond reason. What is beyond reason? God, Jesus Christ, stripping Himself of all of His majesty and grandeur and being born as an innocent baby, like all of us, into this world for the express purpose of saving us. What else is beyond reason? Well, Jesus Christ, God, you know, mounting the cross, dying an excruciating death, so that we might be reconciled back to the Father. That's essentially beyond reason. And see, they both go hand in hand. And so faith is talking about a confident trust in the presence of God in our life. See, we belong to God. Therefore, we must have that perspective where I turn my life over to God. I believe it, I act upon it, and my faith will be strengthened. I'll give you a good example of what I'm talking about. This past summer, our teenagers in both of our parishes, they went on a mission trip. Now, it's interesting, talking to the teenagers, before they went on that trip, it was very important for what they did. They said they had to clear away all the detachments they had in their life, like school and athletics and social media. They had to clear all those things away because then they became free. They became free to surrender to turn their life over to God. And then they went on mission. Now, what's so incredible is they told us about the amazing effects, you know, that Mass had on them. Essentially, these teenagers, the first thing that they did in the day, they didn't go out to immediately serve the people with works. No, they started each day in the morning with Mass. They went to Mass, they received the Eucharist, and then they went out. And they said the Mass set the tone for the entire day. It gave them a sense of purpose in what they were doing. Essentially, the grace they received from the Eucharist made them now go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And so, by surrendering to God, God took them to places and to serve people they never thought they could. Now, it's interesting. They didn't describe all the things they did as work within the community that they served. Instead, they described it as being Jesus Christ for those people. That's powerful when you think about that. You know, you talk to the chaperones, and they would say they saw the transformation in these kids every day through the power of God's grace. And that is powerful. Now, it's amazing. When the kids came back, immediately they wanted to sign up for the mission trip next year. They didn't know when it was or where it was, but they wanted to sign up. They wanted that same great experience. And see, that's just a great example of what the readings are teaching us. You know, faith is all about turning our life over to God, believing in it, and then acting upon it. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.